Before I preach tonight, I did want to make mention, I failed to do this a few minutes ago. We started a youth camp up in Canada this past summer, and the Lord just really blessed and helped us. And we wanted to show a little clip. It's about 3 minutes long, so if you'll just bear with us, we'll show this real quick. And we would love to have you to come and be a part of 2018 Youth Camp. Amen. And it's kind of like a mission trip, really, in some aspects. It's a youth camp, but there's young people that are coming to this camp who are unchurched, who have never really sold out to God. Some of them really have never been in a Christian camp. And so you would be a light and an example to them. And so if we have that ready, let's go ahead and show that before we preach tonight.
Canada Youth Camp was amazing. We had such a great group come from Canada and the States that made camp awesome. We had canoeing, kayaking, water Olympic relay races, paint charades, goggle ball, black light volleyball, and an epic bonfire. We also had amazing services with altar calls that changed young people's lives forever. So if you are interested and would like to come, we officially invite you to Canada Youth Camp 2018. Our morning speaker is Brother Dathan Tucker from Denton, Texas, and our evening speaker, Brother Jerry Pascarilla from Hamilton, Ohio. The camp is located in eastern Ontario, approximately 5 hours northeast from Niagara Falls. So check out our website for more information, CanadaYouthCamp.com. Start making plans now to attend Canada Youth Camp 2018. We look forward to seeing you there, eh?
Call Canadian Summer Olympics at its best, right there. You can visit our website and all the information's there about how to get there and the cost and what you can bring and what you can't bring, like guns, ammo, bombs, nothing like that. But we'd love to have you to come. We're looking forward to a great move of God. Man, it was just, it went beyond our expectations. And I have a whole new respect and honor for those who are over camps and youth camps. I'm telling you, it's and I know ours is much more small scale at this point, but it's a lot of work. And so we appreciate your prayers concerning that and make plans to come. We're going to shoot for July the 30th through August the 2nd, I believe is the week, July 30th, 2018 through August the 2nd. And we're looking forward to a wonderful time. Amen. I want to preach tonight on the creditor is at the door. The creditor is at the door. Oil in the Bible has always been symbolic of the anointing, God blessing or calling on a person's life. Oil has been used to anoint men for kingship, for priesthood. It's been used to anoint workers and builders in the tabernacle and the temple. Anointing was never viewed as a magic potion type thing. Amen. Anointing itself, the oil itself, does not have any power, but it's God who anoints the person. The oil is symbolic simply of that anointing. And another meaning in the New Testament for the word anointed is chosen one. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." After Christ left this earth, he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Over in John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Aren't you glad for the Spirit of God abiding with us? "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." What a promise, young people, that we have of the Spirit of God residing within us. Amen. God desires to give us an anointing for a specific purpose to fulfill the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 21, Paul said, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." When we look at our text tonight, it's a great story of how God miraculously provided for a widow woman who lost her husband prematurely to death. Obviously, this woman was left with some debt. It wasn't uncommon for farmers to rack up some sort of debt prior to the harvest, as they would borrow in order to make their plants and to do the planting, etc. And then when the harvest would come, they would take the money that was used when they sold their harvest and pay back their debt. Unfortunately, this woman was left with a debt as her sole provider, her breadwinner, had died. And so when we look at this text, this is really a miraculous thing in how God made provision for this widow woman who was left behind. And it's a wonderful story, really. But I want to look at it a little bit differently tonight and ask the question, what did she do with what she already had? We know what God did with what she had, but what did she do with what she already had? So let's look at this story tonight, and I've got three questions to ask you, and the first one is, who's at your door? Who is at your door? Amen. Now we have a creditor here, and he's come to this door tonight that we've set up for this purpose of this message. And as he knocks on the door, amen, we cannot escape the fact that we hear somebody knocking at the door. The question that you've asked many times as somebody's rung your doorbell or knocked on your door is, I wonder who's at my door. I wonder if it's another Jehovah Witness or another Mormon. I wonder if it's somebody taking census. I wonder if it's the Avon lady. I wonder who it is. I wonder if it's my next door neighbor needing a loaf of bread. But somebody's knocking at the door. Who is knocking at your door? Amen. Could I tell you tonight, it's the creditor. The creditor is knocking at your door. The time to pay is now. There is no escape. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and knocked and you seen the blinds move a little bit as they're peeking out, and then all is silent? Nobody comes to answer the door. So there's many times I've wanted to holler, hey, I know you're in there. You better open up or I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. Amen. I know you're in there somewhere. I seen you peeking through the blinds. Amen. And so the time to answer the door is now. There's no back door of escape in this message. He knows where you live. He knows you're inside. Amen. He's come to collect a debt. Amen. There's no more time to think about it. There's no time to come up with an alternative plan. Amen. You can't fake it this time. You can't put on a facade this time. The creditor is at your door. Amen. The spiritual application of this story tonight is this. We are living in a world of many, many hurting people. There is a world that is looking for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for help. They're looking for purpose in life. Amen. And if you will, they're at your door. And their demands are, you need to pay up. If you say there's a God, then put your money where your mouth is and prove it to me. If you say there is a Savior, then let's see what a Savior can do. If you know the answer, give me the answer. I've come looking for peace, and if you've got peace, I need it in my life. There is a world that's knocking at your door, and they're looking for something. Listen, church, we cannot skirt the issue any longer. The time is now. The time to pay the creditor is now. The time to pay up is now. The time to answer the door is now. Amen. The time to have revival is now. The time to get an anointing of God in your life, young people, is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next youth rally. It's not next youth camp. There is a creditor knocking at your door, and somebody needs to answer that door and pay up now. Amen. Can you not hear that knocking tonight? Amen. The lost are demanding a way of salvation. The lame are demanding a healing. The sad are demanding joy. The depressed are demanding victory. The oppressed are demanding relief. The lonely are demanding a friend. The inquisitive are demanding answers. The world is tired of the ritual. They're tired of that same old, same old. They're tired of hypocritical living. They're tired of dead, lifeless religion. What they're looking for is something that they cannot get on the outside. They're knocking on your door tonight. Young people and church, the time is now. Who's at your door? The creditor's at your door. Oh yes, the second question I'd like to ask you tonight is this. What's in your house? What's in your house? So verse 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house. Most people would stop there. I can't do anything for God. I don't have any talents. I can't play the piano. I can't toot a horn. I can't play a bass guitar. I can't play the drums. I can't even cold a tune in a bucket. Amen. When I sing in the shower, the dog goes to howling. I don't have any talents. I can't do anything for God. Amen. But she didn't stop there. She said, I don't have anything in the house, but I do have a little pot of oil. Amen. Could I tell you, God has already given you something in your house that you can use. The Holy Spirit spoke to us tonight, and one little phrase that I gleaned out of there, he said, I will give you something that you can use. The Spirit of God is what we have in this vessel. So where did she get that oil? It just didn't appear out of thin air. It just didn't happen to, you know, she looked over on the shelf and voila, that's French for there. It is. Amen. She at one time, no doubt, had acquired that. She spent money buying that. There was a cost associated to it. Even if it had been given to her, somebody paid for it. Could I tell you that Christ, amen, God did not send his son, Jesus Christ, to this world to die on a cruel cross and shed his blood for the remission of mankind so that hymn writers could pen pretty hymns that sit in the back of our pews. Oh no, amen. God sent his son into this world, the spotless Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the entire world. That means you and I. And then he said in Mark 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, Luke 24 and 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. That's exactly what he did in Acts chapter 2. He spoke about it, he promised it, and then he fulfilled it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I'm telling you, that's what God did. He filled all of them with the Holy Ghost. What's in your house tonight? God has given you salvation. God's given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not just to feel good. It's not just to have spiritual doodads running up and down your spine. It is for a purpose. She already had in her house exactly what she needed to meet the creditor's demands. She didn't have to go outside the house. She didn't have to borrow the oil from somewhere else. Amen. She didn't have to manufacture it herself. She didn't have to come up with an alternative. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like scrambled eggs not made from a substitute. I like them right from the hen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't want turkey bacon. I want the fat hog bacon. Praise God. Give me some Canadian ham, some Canadian bacon. Oh yes, that oil was not a substitute. It was the real thing. Years ago, Coca-Cola and Pepsi had a challenge on. It was called the Pepsi Challenge. And I went and took it one day, and I know what they did. They would serve two glasses, and you would drink both and choose which one was Pepsi. They always had warm Coca-Cola, and the Pepsi was chilled. It was nice and cold. And obviously, everybody liked the chilled product as opposed to the lukewarm. But I knew what they were doing. I said, this is the real thing, Coca-Cola. Pepsi's an imitation. Oh, I just lost some of you. Amen. That's like Ford and Chevy. Chevy's an imitation. There went half my offering. Oh, help us, Lord. Can I tell you tonight, this oil was the real thing. The power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not some man-made manifestation. It is not some man-concocted formula. Amen. It is not some recipe that can be whipped up. Amen. This anointing of the Holy Ghost, it is heaven sent. It is God breathed, and it is spirit infilled. Woo! Can I tell you tonight, we don't need another new doctrine. We don't need another new program. We don't need another Bible translation. What we need is what we already got. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thirdly, not only who's at your door, can you hear the knocking? Not only what's in your house, but lastly, let me preach to you, what are you going to do with what you got? What are you going to do with what you got? Verse 3, the prophet said, go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went in and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. God was already doing his part. God was already fulfilling his duty. God was already looking down upon her even before the prophet entered into the picture. God already knew where she was at. God already knew what she had in her house. Amen. What are you waiting for tonight? This woman began to pour out. Upon the prophet's instructions, she went and borrowed those vessels, not the oil. She already had the oil. But she went and borrowed some vessels and she began to pour out. What are you waiting for tonight? Some angelic being to flock in here playing on a harp, kumbaya, my Lord. God's already given us instruction on what we need to do, and He's already equipped us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My question to you tonight is, what do you got in your house, and what are you going to do with what you got? Amen. This world is getting wilder, and the church is getting milder. I'll tell you, young people, tonight, you owe the creditor. You owe this world a revival. You owe this world a red hot Christian. You owe this world a young man and a young woman who's on fire for God and who has an answer to give to the creditor and pay the debt. Somebody's knocking at your door. What's in your house and what are you going to do with what you got? That Acts chapter 2 church, when that birth took place, as the Holy Ghost entered into the vessels that were ready to receive, those disciples turned a world upside down for Jesus Christ. Peter preached and 3,000 were saved. They witnessed and more were saved. They witnessed and more got saved. And it was added to the church daily, such as should be saved. All the way down through history, people witnessed and people got saved. Somebody witnessed to you and you got saved. And you've witnessed to somebody and they got saved. It's that perpetuation we were preaching about the other night. That generational thing just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And that little woman, she poured out and she poured out and she poured out and she poured out and she kept pouring until all the pots were full. All those empty vessels. Listen, you don't have to go very far to find empty vessels. Sometimes you just got to look down the pew in front of you, behind you, at the grocery store, at the McDonald's drive-in. Amen. You just can't go very far without coming into contact with some empty vessels.
We were in Canada a year or two ago, 2015. We had an opportunity to go up into Northern Ontario and minister to the First Tribe Indian Nation. And on our way back, we had never been in Wisconsin. And we'd heard Wisconsin's got good cheese. And I love cheese. I love curd. Anybody curd eater? Do you know what curd is? All right, a few nodding your heads. Well, curd is the best thing that's ever happened since sliced bread. I mean, I can almost taste it now. My wife won't eat it because it squeaks her teeth. She says it feels like somebody scratching a chalkboard when she eats curd. And boy, my daughter and I, we love it. We'll get a big bag, Brother Paulman, and we'll devour that bag of curd just in a few minutes. It's kind of like Wiggly cheese. But oh boy, it's full of oil and it's good. Amen. We've got stuff in Canada called poutine. I know it don't sound good, but poutine is French fries, amen, covered with this melted curd and a brown gravy on top of that. It's called Heart Attack City, amen, and you douse it with salt and even a little vinegar on top, and man, you've got yourself a wonderful meal right there. Well, we went through Wisconsin. And my wife had got bronchitis. She was sick, and we had stopped at a KOA for the night. And I told him, I said, we've got to get up early in the morning, get on the road. We have a schedule to keep. We had a young lady traveling with us. She had to get back to Missouri to get her car to go back to Oklahoma to work the following day. So we went through Marinetta, Wisconsin. little small town, and we were looking for a cheese store, a cheese factory. And my wife saw an 8.5 by 11 sign on a bank wall, just an obscure little sign, but it said cheese, and it had an arrow. We whipped in there, pulled that truck and trailer in, and when I got out of the truck, I said, 15 minutes, that's all we have for this little cheese store. Let's get in and let's get out. And so I looked at the fuel gauge. I had a Ford, 2003 Ford, a diesel. It was the 6000 motor. And those of you that are familiar with it, it is a problem motor. And I noticed that my fuel gauge was half. And I said to myself, I'm going to get fuel before I leave Marinetta, because I don't know this road. I don't know where the next station's going to be. And we only got about 284 miles to the tank pulling a trailer. So we went in the store, and I was meandering around and my mouth already watering and slobbering all over myself, thinking about all that good cheese. And my daughter struck up a conversation with the owner. And the owner had a brother who had just died. And she started unveiling her heart towards my daughter. And of course, Courtney, if you know her, she's just a wonderful young lady to talk to and very sensitive to the needs of others. And pretty soon my wife was over there, and the other girl that was with us, Brandy, was there and talking. And I was looking at my watch, and I'd already gathered up my $80 worth of cheese and was heading to the counter. And I noticed that they were crying, and this woman was crying. So I put the cheese on the counter. I went over there and kind of slipped in on the conversation. And 15 minutes turned to 30, and 30 turned to 45. And we started praying with this woman. Nobody else had come in the store. And we had us a prayer meeting right there. We grabbed a hold of her hands, and she wept and cried. And for an hour and a half, we ministered to that lady in that cheese store in Marinetta, Wisconsin. Amen. Finally, we dried our tears, and I wasn't thinking much about the time we paid for our cheese, and went out to the vehicle, and I got in and started the truck, and the fuel gauge went completely to full. And I said, great, there's something else now it's going to have to get fixed. I looked at the instrument cluster, and it said 286 miles to empty. I said, that's gone wacko too. So we headed down the road. I didn't even think about stopping at a station, and we drove and we drove and we drove and we drove, and finally it occurred to me, I forgot to get diesel. I mean, I was in panic mode, and I looked down at the fuel gauge, and it registered a quarter tank. And I looked at the odometer, and it said we had traveled 284 miles since I had reset it. I thought to myself, what is going on here? And then, like a light coming on, you ever have a V8? Boom, I could have had a V8. I mean, just like a light come on, the Lord did a miracle for us. I told the girls, I said, do you understand what just happened? There is no way we could have gone 284 miles on a half a tank and still had a quarter left. I don't know how God did it. I don't know if there was an angel with a gas can walking down the road that saw that white Ford, and God instructed that angel to fill her up. I don't know how he did it. If he just waved his hand and multiplied the diesel. I don't know if he shook the tank. Amen. And just, I don't know how he did it, but he done it. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm telling you? While we were pouring out, even in our tight schedule, even in our preoccupied disposition, while we were pouring out, God was pouring in. I feel like preaching to somebody tonight. The creditor is at the door. What have you got in your house? If you'll pour out, God's going to do His part and multiply what you got so you can pay the creditor. You may say, well, I'm not sure, Brother Dave, what I've got in my house. Well, you better do some house cleaning then. You better start taking a little inventory. I've cleaned out stuff from underneath my bed when I was a teenager that I think was there for 5 or 6 years. It was a good thing Mom and Dad moved periodically. Amen. Otherwise, I'd have had a biological or a biotech hazard, some kind of a scientific program going on underneath my bed. Amen. What do you got in your house? You may say, well, I don't know if I have the Holy Ghost. Listen, you don't have to leave here tonight wondering if you've got it or not. Amen. You may say, well, I'm not even sure I'm saved. You don't have to leave here wondering if you're saved or not. Amen. There is salvation that's free for you tonight, right here at this altar. I preached last night about commitment and dedicating yourself to the Lord. And if you've done that already, the next step is to get in that house and get full of the Holy Ghost. There's somebody at a door. It's a creditor. He's a knocking and he's demanding payment. What have you got, young person? What is in your house that you've already got that you can look and open that door and answer that creditor and say to him, this is what I've got. Amen. Come on in and let me introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me introduce you to the blessed Holy Ghost. And if you'll stay around a while, you're going to reap the benefits, and then you're going to be on this side of the door, and somebody else is going to be a knocking. Somebody else is going to be at the door, and then you'll be able to open the door and invite them in. Praise God. Woo! Do you understand? Pour. Some of you are so occupied with your little plans about the future, and certainly I'm not minimizing that. I dreamed about being all kinds of things. I wanted to be a garbage truck driver. My dad was a pack rat. He got a lot of stuff out of the dump. I figured if I could drive a dump, a garbage truck, I could kind of go through it before I head to the landfill, you know. Yeah. And I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a helicopter pilot. I wanted to be a lot of things. But oh, when God got a hold of my life, I was a high school senior. I was dating a young lady by the name of Esther. And Esther had signed up to be a rookie. She was going through the police academy in Toronto. She was going to be an Ontario police officer, an OPP. And I said, well, I might as well go that route too. But then Esther broke up with me, like to kill me, broke my heart. I know it's hard to believe, but. And I said, I don't want to be in the same class as her. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I'd just gotten saved, and Sidney Vodary said, Dave, why don't you give God a year of your life and go to Bible school? I said, yeah, I can do that. And I went, my first time being in the United States of America, I went down to Pennsylvania. I went to Export, Pennsylvania, up on the hill, and I took my first year. I went back again the second year, and I was in the prayer room one day. It was February the 15th, 1985. I was in the prayer room, and I was praying, oh, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I want to go. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'm availing myself to you. I don't want to just go home and just work a regular job. I want to do your will. And God spoke to me on February the 15th, 1985. And he called me into the ministry. I had no idea what, but I was ready and open. Oh, praise God. I got through my senior year. I graduated from Export, and Brother Mike and Sister LaDonna Blue. Anybody remember them? Amen. He called me up and said, Brother Dave, would you travel with us for the summer? We need a piano player and we need a kids crusader and puppeteer. You think you could help us? We can't pay you anything, but we'll take care of your expenses. I had no overhead. I said, I'll pray about it. I called him back 30 minutes later. I said, I prayed about it. I'll go. Amen. I took off in May with the blues. And we headed, not that kind of blues, but we headed down the interstates. I'd never been in Alabama. I'd never been in Kentucky. I'd never been in any of those states. Ohio. I mean, it was just a wonderful experience. I met my wife in Oklahoma at a youth camp. It was a profitable thing for me to go on that little excursion. But through all that, amen, I begin to pour out into the life of others. I begin to develop ministerial ethics and skills and things that would enhance what I felt like God was choosing for me to do. And I'm not trying to make this longer than what it should. But just after a year after meeting my wife, we were married in 1988, June the 11th. And we started 2 weeks later, following the blues examples and hitting the Kids Crusade Trail. And we had an old beat up 1978 Chevy Impala. Amen. We stuck everything that we had and could use in there. And we headed out doing Kids Crusades for the next 7 years. Every summer, we worked as youth pastors in Granite City, Illinois. We worked in Christian schools. Wherever God placed us, we put our hand to the plow and we worked. I remember shingling roofs at Granite City Campground. I remember cleaning stools, running electric wire, hanging the ceiling fans, painting the mural on the back wall. Whatever Brother Belt said, I said, yes, sir. Amen. You know what I was doing? I was pouring out. Amen. Just like I'm doing tonight. I'm trying to pour into you. Amen. What God has blessed me with so you can pour into somebody else. This afternoon I prayed this. God, would you please call some young children and some young people into full-time ministry. That is my prayer and desire. Not everybody is called to full-time ministry as far as pastor, teacher, evangelist, missionary, prophet, apostle. Not everybody's called to those fivefold ministry offices, but everybody's called to full-time ministry. You may be working at Best Buy and be a minister of the gospel. You may be an EMT on the back of an ambulance and work in the ministry. You may be a teacher in a public school system and work in full-time ministry. You may be a doctor, a lawyer, or a garbage truck driver, but you can be a minister for Jesus Christ. There is a knocking on the door, and somebody needs to answer that tonight. Somebody needs to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Amen. Somebody tonight needs to sanctify the Lord God in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit, and in your soul, and avail yourself to Him and pour out. Pour out. Stand with us, please. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father. God. What a powerful, powerful worship service we had prior, Lord, in this meeting tonight. You moved, you spoke, you touched us. And I'm asking once again, as we come into these altars, that you would challenge this congregation tonight to open the door and pay the debtor. In order to do that, Lord, I know some of them already have what it takes to pay the debt. But they're still a little shy. They haven't finessed their delivery, if you will. They haven't had time to really practice what they would say to a sinner. But God, we don't have to have all those skills. All we've got to have is a little oil in our pot that you can pour out into somebody's life. please, Lord, would you do that tonight in this altar? In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name. Is there any young person tonight who would accept the challenge and say, I'm going to answer the door. I'm going to go to this world and proclaim what Jesus means to me. Is there any young person that step out of your seat and come to this altar and lift your hand in a token of surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. The creditor is knocking, but I'm willing to open the door if you'll help me. I can't do it on my own. I'm too scared. I'm too shy. I'm too timid. But I'm willing to take a stand and step out and reach for the doorknob tonight, because the creditor is not going to stop knocking. He's going to find the answer somewhere. Is there any other young person who'll take the challenge tonight and step out and come up front here and say, I'm going to be that young person. I owe the world a revival. I owe the world a red hot Christian. I owe the world somebody who's sold out. Is there anybody else that take the challenge? Here's a few. Anybody else? Are we just going to settle for just us two? Or would you just take initiative and say, well, I'm waiting for my friend to step out. Hey man, why don't you step out? Why don't you take the initiative? Why don't you quit being the follower and start being the leader? Why don't you take a stand for Christ? Why don't you take time, amen, to give your heart and life to Him? Why don't you surrender your will and way to the Lord's and step into this altar and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to answer the creditor. I'm willing. What about you, parent, tonight? Have you been doing your own thing? Have you been wrapped up in your little world? Have you been so occupied with your problem that you couldn't even hear the door knocking? Will you answer the door tonight, parents? Grandma, Grandpa, will you answer the door tonight? Would you please satisfy the creditor tonight? Would you please give them an answer? Come on, let's everybody pray.
From where you stand, can you see?
You need the Holy Ghost tonight. Begin to lift your hands toward heaven and say, God, fill me. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord.
By the pointing of the hand, night is fast approaching. There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you see the hour by the pointing of the hands? Night is fast approaching. There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? We move along.